So for those of you who have not been here in these last few weeks, we are at Trinity embarking or in the midst of a journey through seven of the stories from the book of Exodus. And we are doing those because they came up as lectionary readings for us to do, and it seemed like an awesomely wonderful thing that we might learn about our sisters and brothers from the Jewish tradition, and we might learn about mysticism, because many of these stories are not factual stories. They're stories told by tribal peoples, clan peoples, that they might make sense of their lives. And so we are doing these here. I've been using as a resource a book by the name who's written by a fellow named Robert Alter, and it's called The Five Books of Moses. And magically, Karen Pushel Siegel, shaking her head and saying, "No, I didn't do that," brought me this copy of this book and said I am free to give it to whoever wants it. So if you would like to read kind of detailed study of the first five books of the Old Testament and kind of some textual criticism about it, you're invited to see that. There it is. Right there. Is a glass sculpture that was given to me in Sarasota by a woman named Kat, spelled with a C, because our banner is here also by a woman named Kat, but that one's with a K. But anyway, Kat Christofferson created that glass sculpture, and I asked her what it was, and I think I've told you before, she asked me, "Don't you read your Bible?" "I just do this work, I don't read it." She said, those are the 12 tribes of Israel. And so in the story that you heard this morning, read to us by Mary, what you discovered was that the Hebrew children were getting free from each clan. And they had been there for some 430 years. You remember the story of Joseph and his brothers, Jacob's sons, and how they put Joseph in the water bowl, remember that? Those, Joseph and his brothers, they all went because of a famine to Egypt. And they ended up living there and procreating and being part of that culture for 430 years. And finally were so oppressed, they wanted dearly to be set free. And so that's the story we're doing here today. I should tell you, though, before we go into the sermon, hi, that we have some musicians with us today. One is a gentleman by the name of Bill Cook, who is on the organ and on the piano. Ann McGinnis graced us with the prelude or pre-service music. Evie Sussman was on the cello. And this group, we're here with voice. I can't name them all, though. Thank you, Nancy. We are grateful for you. Helping me this morning with the sermon is Gail Trill. She and Linda come from the farthest, I think, to get here, a little more than an hour it takes them to come to Trinity Church on Sunday morning. I went to their house this week, and I thought I was going to Petoskey. But actually, it's not. It's just kind of on that way. Anyway, Gail, if you will come and be there, and we'll get started with this time for our God's freedom for us. Ah, dear ones of Trinity, this sacred space was full to the brim and included a bit of standing room only yesterday. Jim Landis says, "I will be honest if I say to you that there were at least 220 of us packed into this sacred space. We were here to honor the life of Vina Meisel, in part because Vina was not a participant in the life of Trinity, in part because Vina was by birth and by blood Jewish, and in part because it is in our core as Trinity Church to be welcoming to all, whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey. Vina's celebration of life was not a worship service that belonged to Trinity. It was instead a sacred gathering of many people from many places and many traditions. Those of you who have seen the Northport mural down by the marina will recognize our banner here as the two center panels of that mural. I am grateful to the artist, Kat DeCoe, possibility of somehow getting a piece of that mural here and then working with her folks that she works with in Traverse City to have the image transferred from her computer art program onto a fabric that hangs here. Seemed appropriate to me, since we're talking about the Red Sea, that we have this particular banner in this spot. Yesterday, it was the symbol for our sacred gathering. Vina loved art, and she loved Northport and Leelanau. Art and place, yes. Now, the final part of a Jewish funeral celebration of life is the mourner's kaddish. It's a prayer that's prayed in Hebrew and needs at least 10 people for it to be prayed. It's spoken out loud to give honor to the one who has died, in this case, Vina Meitzel, but actually isn't a prayer about the one who has died. It's really a prayer for the living, which is us. The service yesterday was poignant for me on many levels. The remembrances of Vina by Marian Krokowski, and Vina's son and grandson and daughter, the two poems read by members of the family, the music of Emmy Sussman and Nancy Flanagan, the picture of Vina as a young woman that Phil had selected to have here for us, our singing of Shalom Hillim, Cat Dakota's banner, Erica's chalk art that you still see out on our sidewalk. But the most poignant part of the service for me, we had another row of pews up here, so this place was crowded. At the end of the service, I invited those who identified themselves as people who know the mourner's kaddish to come to the front. And they, 20 of them or more, stood in this very small space, and in Hebrew, gave voice to the mourner's prayer, the mourner's kaddish. This sacred space was forever enhanced, forever enriched by their speaking aloud in Hebrew these ancient words of faith. They live in these walls. Marian Krakowski, in her remembrance of Vina, said many beautiful things about Vina, and she translated portions of the mourner's kaddish into English for those of us who are not Hebrew speakers. She said it can be translated into English with words like this: may God's majesty be revealed in our lifetime. Blessed be God's name for all eternity. May there be abundant peace from heaven and earth for us and for all. May the one who creates harmony on high bring peace to us and to all, to which we say, amen.
Amen.
Peace to us. Peace to all. That peace begins, said our story from Exodus, as read to us by Mary Ellis, when Moses goes on down to old Pharaoh and says to old Pharaoh, as in whoever and whatever it is that enslaves the cherished, beloved ones of God, tell old Pharaoh, that one which keeps us in bondage, tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. Oh, freedom! The great black preacher, James Weldon Johnson, who lived from 1870 to 1938, preached this story. Thank you, Gail Trill, for helping me give voice to his words and to bring these old words of James Weldon Johnson alive for us today. Listen now. Listen, all you daughters, all you sons of Pharaoh, who do you think can hold God's people when the Lord God himself, when Sophia God herself has said, let my people go 430 years. They held them down in Egypt land, held them under the driver's lash, working without money, without price. And Pharaoh called his generals, the captains called the soldiers,
hitched up all the chariots, 600 chosen chariots of war, and 2,400 horses. And the chariots were all full of men with swords and shields and shiny spears and bows and arrows, and Pharaoh and his army pursued the Hebrew children to the edge of the Red Sea.
Now the children of Israel, looking back, saw Pharaoh's army coming, and the rumble of the chariots was like a thunderstorm, and the whirring of the wheels was like a rushing wind, and the dust from the horses made a cloud that darkened the day, and the glittering of the spears was like lightnings in the night, and the children of Israel all lost faith. The children of Israel all lost hope. Deep Red Sea in front of them, and Pharaoh's host behind.
Oh, they grumbled among themselves. Were there no graves in Egypt? And they wailed aloud to Moses and said, slavery in Egypt was better than to come to die in this wilderness.
But Moses said, stand still. Stand still and see the Lord's salvation. For the Lord God of Israel will not forsake his people. The Sophia God of Israel will not forsake her people. The Lord will break the chariots. The Lord will break the horsemen. God will break great Egypt's sword and shield, the battle bows and arrows. This day God will make proud Pharaoh know who is the God of all.
And Moses lifted up his rod over the Red Sea, and God blew the waters apart, and the waves rolled back, and stood up in a pile, and left a path through the middle of the sea, dry as the sands of the desert.
And the children of Israel all crossed over onto the other side.
Now when Pharaoh saw them crossing dry, he dashed on in behind them. Old Pharaoh got about halfway across.
And God unleashed the waters, and the waves rushed back together. And Pharaoh and all his army got lost. And Moses sang, and Miriam danced, and the people shouted for joy. And God led the Hebrew children on till they reached the promised land.
Listen, listen.
All you daughters, all you sons of Pharaoh, who do you think can hold God's people when the Lord God himself, the Sophia God herself, has said, let my people go.
Let my people go. And the people sang, and Miriam danced, and the women danced with Miriam. Let my people go. And the people sang, and Miriam danced. Let my people go. Now, when I heard this story as a child, I confess to having seen the movie by good old, what was his name? Cecil B. That's the one. Cecil B. DeMille. And his Ten Commandments movie. And you remember good old Moses standing there and making it so that there was this great path that formed, and off it went. And it was really a story for me it was a story about the good guys winning and the bad guys. Sort of like when I was a child and we used to play cops and robbers. And again, always the good folk won and the bad folk, they lost. Or like in Star Wars or in Harry Potter, when light always survives over darkness. The light wins. It's not always that way, though. We continue, sisters and brothers, to live on the threshold of the promised land. We continue to live in the not yet
of God's kingdom. Patricia and I learned when we were in Ireland from Grace O'Keefe about the Battle of the Boyne, which is known by absolutely every person in Ireland. They tell it like it just happened yesterday. In 1690, two English kings, one who was married to the daughter of the other. So William and James, they were feuding with one another, and they wrapped it in Catholicism and Protestantism, and they had the Pope involved. Somehow they got the Pope to back the Protestant. And so the Catholics in Ireland decided, oh, good, we're going to go with this guy because he's got the Pope behind him. And they, instead of fighting their feud in England where they belonged and came from, they decided, let's go play in Ireland. And so they held this war, the Battle of the Boyne. And after the war, William won. And after the war, William started the Penal Code. And the Penal Code is a most oppressive rule of law against Catholics, the very people who had fought to make that possible. You remember Alex Haley and his book, Roots. And you remember the story of Kunta Kinte and all of those folks in the ship with him, and that they were enslaved here in our nation. And you remember the tale of the Trail of Tears in 1838 and the Holocaust and the Second World War and the USS Indianapolis on July 30th in 1945 and the people aboard Flight 93 on 9/11, or all those people in the Twin Towers who died. You remember the Pulse Bar massacre in Orlando in June of 2016. You remember the dreamers' uncertainty about their future here in 2017 in what many of them have come to know as their promised land. You remember Hurricane Irma. That was in 2017. Do you remember that? You remember the story of it first coming into the Caribbean and it just devastating Barbuda and Antigua, that was 2 miles, and another time I heard 29 miles, less than 30 miles away. Antigua was barely scathed by the storm of Irma. We live, sisters and brothers, on the threshold of the promised land. We live in the not yet of God's kingdom. Yeah, the Exodus story for today, for me, is not a war story of right versus wrong, of the military conquest of our Hebrew forebears over Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. It's instead about all you daughters, all you sons, could be all us daughters, all us sons of Pharaoh. Who do you think can hold God's people when the Lord God himself, when the Sophia God herself has said, let my people go. Let my people go. Whoa, freedom.
All you daughters, all you sons of Pharaoh, who do you think can hold God's people when the Lord God himself, when the Sophia God herself has said, let my people go, let my people go. Oh, freedom.
And prayer in Hebrew said words like this: may there be abundant peace from heaven and life for us and for all. May the one who creates harmony on high bring peace to us and to all. Here, yesterday, in this very room, those words were prayed in Hebrew and we tasted God's realm in this space. The people, all the people, were welcomed and said, they felt so. I began by saying this is a sacred gathering for us from many places and many traditions. If
You are family of Vina. You are welcome here.
If you have traveled from Indiana to be here today, you are welcome here.
If you're from the League of Women Voters in Leelanau or Michigan or anywhere else, you are welcome here.
If you are from Sharecare, the Northport Community Arts Center, the Northport Women's Club, you are welcome here.
If you are Jewish, Christian, Islamist, humanist, Unitarian, free thinker, you are welcome here.
If you love justice, march against oppression, expect equality, you are welcome here.
May the one who grants harmony on high bring peace to us all.